Well, good evening. Let me add my welcome and trust that God will bless you for coming here this evening. I wanted to look at some verses from 1 John chapter 5. John's first epistle, chapter 5. The heading or the subject for tonight is the Christian as an overcomer. The Christian as an overcomer. So I just wanted to read the first five verses of 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. May God bless his word. Robert Burns, one day sitting in church, during the service, obviously not paying much attention to what was being said, noticed the lady sitting in front of him. He noticed a louse, a tiny creature, crawling all over her bonnet and her hair. And she was completely unaware of this creature crawling on her hair. But Burns spotted it, and he penned these famous words in his poem to a louse. Oh, what some power the gift he gave us to see ourselves as others see us. Now, the English translation, oh, would some power give us the gift to see ourselves as others see us. Does lose a bit in the English translation, I have to admit. But wouldn't that be interesting, to see ourselves as other people see us? How do others in the church see me, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? How does my family see me? I've got a fair idea on that one. How do colleagues, friends, fellow students perhaps, your neighbors, how do they see you? Do they see Christ in you? Quite often, the perception we have of ourselves is completely different from how other people perceive us or see us. Either we have a tendency to gloss over our weaknesses and our faults that perhaps are so obvious to other people looking on at us. Or we can be self-deprecating and we can focus on our negatives. The negatives that we see in ourselves, and we fail to see the positives that other people see in us. It can work both ways. But I'm not so much thinking tonight about how other people see us. With this subject, I'm thinking about how God sees us. How God sees believers in Jesus Christ. How Jesus sees us. How Jesus sees those who trust in him. And you know, you just need to think about how God describes Christians in his word, in the Bible. God describes believers as saints. He describes them as holy ones. Jesus called us his friends, his brothers. God describes us as his children, as sons, as heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that amazing? The elect of God, thinking that you have been chosen by God himself. Sheep, members of the body of Christ. And I could go on. And the amazing thing is, it takes all of these different names and all of these different descriptions and titles to even begin to describe the fullness of God's grace and the tremendous blessings that he has brought me and you into if you have given your life to Jesus Christ. And there is no one title that can describe how God sees me as a Christian, such as the magnitude of the blessings of God. But there is another title, there is another description used in the Bible to describe how God sees believers in Jesus Christ. And it's this title of an overcomer. God sees every believer in Jesus Christ as an overcomer. What does that mean? Well, the word overcomer, it really means to conquer. It means to defeat an enemy. It means to gain a victory. And to put it in simple language, I'm a simple man, so to put it into simple language, God sees you as a winner. God sees you as a victor, a conqueror. I have two cheeky nephews, cheeky but adorable nephews in Aberdeen, and there was a spell that, you know, when they saw me, rather than, you know, their greeting, rather than come and give me an affectionate hug or even say hello, they would do this. They would, loser. That's what they would say to their uncle. Loser. And I didn't take it personal. I kept my composure, and my reaction to them was, I'm not a loser, I'm a winner. And the point is this, that as a Christian, you may be surrounded by people. Maybe you're the only Christian at home. Or maybe you're the only Christian at work. Or maybe you're striking out this week as a student starting university for the first time in a strange city. And you may be surrounded by people that when they hear that you're a Christian, they think you're a loser. You know, trying to make friends. And pretty soon the conversation comes, and are you going to nail your colours to the mast? And are you going to tell them that you're a Christian? And maybe they won't say it, but maybe they're thinking, a Christian? Get a life. What a loser. And certainly the devil, the Satan himself, he wants you to feel and he wants you to think that as a Christian, you are a loser. And he wants you to wave that white flag of surrender, and he wants you not to stand and not to witness for Jesus Christ, but to take yourself out of the battle and sit on the sidelines. Because the Christian life is a battle. Every day we wrestle not with flesh and blood. But God says, as difficult as the battle may be for you today and this week or the last few weeks, whatever you're facing in life, God says you are no loser. You're a winner. You're a victor in Jesus Christ. You are an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Now the word overcomer, it comes from a Greek word, nike. In Greek mythology, Nike or Nike was the Greek goddess of victory. Now, if you're like me and you know diddly squat about Greek mythology, then maybe you're more familiar with the American sporting goods company, Nike. I read the autobiography of the founder on holiday, and that's where the name of Nike comes from. The company, it comes from the Greek goddess, the winged goddess of victory. And the idea is that you put on your Nike running shoes and you run yourself to victory. The American military have Nike missiles, I guess, to bomb themselves to victory in conflict. And furthermore, the ancient Greeks believed that only the gods were truly unconquerable. That victory could not be achieved by mere mortals. It was beyond the reach of ordinary man. Isn't it amazing then when you come to Scripture and to passages of Scripture such as Romans chapter 8, we read the words of the Apostle Paul, we are more than conquerors. He uses the words hupernike. We are super conquerors. We are more than conquerors. How? Through Him who loved us. Through Jesus Christ. And this is not the idea of just scraping through, just scraping victory. This is that through Jesus Christ, we are ultimately invincible. Because the victory has already been won by Christ, and by the grace of God that we've sung about tonight, we share in His victory. We share in the victory of Christ. And Jesus Christ, He is the overcomer. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has prevailed. We used to sing a hymn at the church that I used to go to. And now the mighty deed is done on the cross. The battle fought, the victory won on the cross. Lord Nelson, reporting back to the British Admiralty following victory over the French in the Battle of the Nile, in his communication back to headquarters, he wrote this: victory is not enough. It is not a large enough word to describe what took place. And so too with the victory of Jesus Christ. It is beyond words, and we share in the victory of Christ. Now I just want to think about the Christian as an overcomer from 1 John and from 1 John 5 really. And in 1 John chapter 5, we read in verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. I want to ask you, reading that verse, is that true of you? Have you been born of God? Are you born again? Born of the Spirit? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Now, from the passage that we read in 1 John chapter 5, an evidence in your life that you have truly been born of God is that you will be marked by love. This is divine love. This is a love that grows as your relationship with God develops, as you know God in a deeper and deeper way. The love of Christ will just fill your life and it will flow out. A love for God. A love for God and a desire to obey Him in your life. That's verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. A love for other Christians will flow from that. Verse 1. Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of God. You know, this is pretty strong stuff that John teaches. He picks up on this earlier on in his letter in chapter 3, verse 14. He says, we know that we have passed out of death into life. How? Because we love the brothers. We love our brothers and sisters in Christ. He goes on and he says, by this we know, love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Verse 17 of chapter 3. But if anyone has the world's goods, and he sees his brother in need, but he shuts his heart up to him, then how does the love of God abide in him? You know, these are practical truths. This is evidence that you have truly been born of God. How do you score on that front? Your love for your brothers and sisters. But a second evidence in these verses that you have been truly born of God is that you will live the life of an overcomer in Christ. Verse 4, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. You know, John is not talking about a select group of Christians here that have attained a spiritual height. This is everyone. Everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. Every believer is an overcomer. Every believer, a victor. Why? Well, read on. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, who our faith rests in. Verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We are overcomers because of Jesus Christ, because of what He has done. Because through Christ, through faith in Christ, we have been born of God. He has given us life, new power. He's given us divine life. Peter says that we have become partakers of the divine nature. This is the Holy Spirit of God within. Now let's broaden this truth out a bit. God teaches in His Word that through Jesus Christ, Christians are overcomers in three spheres. First of all, through Christ we have overcome Satan. Again, John picks up this theme in chapter 2 of his epistle. He's speaking to different groups, different stages within the church. And he says in verse 13, I am writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one, the wicked one. You've overcome Satan. Now, I take it these aren't young men in terms of age. It's in terms of spiritual maturity, where they are on the spiritual journey. You've overcome the wicked one. On what basis? Well, verse 14, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. The word of God abides in you. You know the truth. You know the word of God. You no longer are deceived by the lies and deception of Satan. You've been set free from Satan's grip over you. You know, you need to know the word of God. That's what Duncan was talking about this morning with the Sadducees. They didn't know the word of God, the power of God. You need to know the word of God. Secondly, through Christ, we have overcome the world. That's what John talks about in chapter 5. The world in what way? John is talking about the world as a system that is controlled, orchestrated, used by Satan himself to oppose the purposes of God and the people of God. You know, the Bible talks about the world as Satan's domain. Matt read from Ephesians chapter 2 tonight that describes Satan as the prince of the power of the air. And John picks up this truth again in chapter 2. He says in verse 15 of chapter 2, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desire of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. These are the things Satan uses. And you can see how Satan used the world to oppose Jesus Christ. How he used the religious leaders, how he used the political leaders of the day. The hatred that was shown to Christ, the plotting, the scheming. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. He said to his own, his disciples, marvel not if the world hates you. Know that it hated me before it hated you. In the world you shall have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. And then thirdly, not only through Jesus Christ have we overcome Satan and the world, but we've overcome death itself. John, again, writing in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus says to John, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and hell. No wonder Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, death is swallowed up in victory. And then you go back to Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, you know, the letters of the Lord Jesus to those seven churches, and in each letter there is a promise to the overcomer, a promise to every believer, I take it. And to the church at Smyrna, the promise to the overcomer is this: the overcomer will not be hurt by the second death. The Christian will never see hell. The Christian will never experience the judgment of God for their sin. The Christian will never be separated from God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Paul says, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation. That's why we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. What a truth this is. That you are an overcomer, a winner through Jesus Christ. He has given us victory over Satan, the world, and death itself. And as wonderful as this truth is, this is not about leaving the hall tonight and giving ourselves a big pat on the back and giving ourselves high fives and saying we're all winners. As glorious as it is to rejoice in the victory of Christ, but the truth of the overcomer presents us all with a serious challenge. And it's this, that for to be an overcomer, we must live the life of an overcomer. And that if we claim Christ's victory, we must live in the power of Christ's victory. And that our lives should be characterized by victory and overcoming through love for Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, there will be times when we fail. There will be times in life when we sin. But that should not be the overall tenor of our lives. And so the challenge to my heart tonight is my life marked by spiritual victory? Or am I continually living in defeat to sin, to flesh? Do we let the world, do we let Satan talk us into thinking that we're losers? Embarrassed about following Jesus Christ? Rob us of our joy in Jesus Christ. Prevent us from witnessing and standing for Jesus Christ. You know, I'm thinking as students this year in particular, I just dropped my daughter off at St. Andrew's yesterday, and thinking as students just, you know, making that stand, Christian students, and how easy it is to get caught up in a lifestyle that will take you further away spiritually from God, facing pressure to live a life contrary to the Christian way of life. You know, my daughter's already getting texts from some of her school friends who are not Christians saying that they're struggling to keep up with the alcohol. You know what it's like. Some of us have been students. And it can be difficult, you know, away from home, away from parents, with that freedom. So easy to live in defeat. And before you know it, you're nowhere spiritually. Maybe it's the case for many others here tonight, and myself included, you know, further on in life. And maybe we've just kind of given up. Maybe we've become too comfortable in our lives and we're happy to live in so-called defeat. Not involved in the battle, you know, sitting out on the sidelines, that's so easy to do. Not involved in serving Jesus Christ, maybe not a member of a church. Maybe you are a member, but maybe membership is a passive thing for you. You know, I speak to my own heart about these things. I just want to finish with this illustration. It's an old myth, an old legend about Alexander the Great. Who knows whether it's true, but the legend is this, that after one particular battle, the great general, you know, he came across one of his soldiers and he was going in the opposite direction from the fight. Should have been, you know, at the front line. He should have been pressing onward. And Alexander the Great approached this soldier and he said, "What's your name, soldier?" He said, "It's Alexander, sir." And he said, "Well, get into the battle and get into the fight or change your name." And I just wonder if that's true of us. We claim the victory of Christ, but we're not living in the power of his victory. Have we taken ourselves out of the battle, out of the spiritual fight? Are we living a passive form of Christianity? But I want this message just to be a positive message. To remember how God sees you as a Christian. He sees you as an overcomer in Christ. He sees you as a winner. He sees you as a victor. And you share in the greatest victory that has and ever will be accomplished through Jesus Christ on the cross. And Jesus Christ has given us every resource we need. Divine life, the Holy Spirit within, the living Word of God. He's given us every resource we need to live a victorious Christian life. And we should live the life of an overcomer through Jesus Christ. May God bless his word. Shall we pray? Father, we just bow before you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the overcomer. We thank you for what his death and resurrection has achieved once and for all. Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. We pray that your Holy Spirit would take your word and minister to each of us as you find us in life. And Father, we just pray that you would strengthen our hearts to stand for you in the days that lie ahead. We pray for your protection upon each and everyone here. And so we just give you thanks now, and ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.